Today we are going to be discussing the new spirituality. Perhaps a better term would be the new age spirituality. And I welcome you to this discussion. The theme song of the Young Rebels of the 1960s was composed and sung by Bob Dylan. One of the stanzas says, "Come, mothers and fathers, throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend a hand, for the times, they are a-changing." That song was a call to the young to cast off the restraints of parental authority and morals and indulge their carnal appetites in whatever way they wanted. The change that Dylan called for materialized and impacted an entire generation and has helped to lead us into the present quagmire of lawlessness and degeneracy. Again, we have reached a point in the life of the church where the times, they are a-changing. If we fail to recognize the changes that are taking place in Christianity and we refuse to take a stand, we may be throwing a whole generation under the bus. I'm talking about the invasion of a new spirituality that is attacking Christianity in general and the apostolic movement in particular. It is a spirituality that is based in Eastern mysticism rather than the principles that are revealed in the Bible. Mystic rituals are dubbed spiritual disciplines, but it is not an outgrowth of spiritual doctrine and biblical truth, but a subjective approach that ultimately humanizes God and deifies man. The popular saying today is, "I am not religious, but I am spiritual." It sounds a little Oprah-esque, doesn't it? And of course, this can mean virtually anything a person wishes it to mean. Even involvement in Zen Buddhism, Hinduism, or a dozen isms other than biblical Christianity. Some would make it to allow for belief in a higher power, perhaps even Allah, so that no religious group is excluded or offended. All ways are viewed as leading to God. Theories that were long kept within a New Age concept are stealthily leaching into the body of Christ. How is this being done? What is happening? Let me suggest some ways. One is through psychology. Many of our youth have been drawn into the psychology industry by the altruistic notion that it is a way to help people spiritually. They wind up learning the theories of atheists and humanists, sometimes in Christian colleges and seminaries, that are far removed from scriptural principles. More and more, psychology courses are laced with the new spirituality in order to make them more palatable to those with a Christian orientation. Christian counselors that are trained in psychology are introducing concepts that once were confined within disciplines that were steeped in panentheism, the belief that God is in everything and everyone, and even pantheism itself. Concepts that are not founded in the Word of God. Deception is rampant in the psychology industry, and our own students and teachers can become inadvertent carriers of this virus. The more psychological theories are pressed into the minds of future teachers, the more these theories will be passed along to the laity, to churches, and to future ministers. The more we elevate those who qualify as instructors simply by sitting from 2 to 5 years at the feet of non-believers who push subjectivism and humanism and the wisdom of this world, then the farther away we will move our people from objective truth. References for proof of the above, you can see Christian Counseling Today, Volume 17, or virtually any issue of psychology today will verify the overtones of the new spirituality. Second, another way it is being introduced into evangelical Christianity is through college and seminary courses. There are those who are keen observers of this aspect of Christianity and track the progress of the new spirituality. One such group is called Lighthouse Trails Research. They publish a list of colleges and universities that espouse and teach a brand of spirituality that is known as contemplative spirituality. And I will refer to this as CS throughout this presentation. CS is basically a type of prayer or spiritual exercise that involves deep, open-minded meditation and usually repeating a single word over and over until one reaches an altered state of consciousness. The rapid expansion of this type of prayer, of contemplative spirituality, these courses can only dump more practitioners into the church as leaders and teachers. They are often referred to as spiritual directors. By setting the teachers of CS who have been taught by unbelievers above grounded apostolics who understand biblical spirituality, we only multiply the falsehoods and errors of the pagans and the idolaters. There is another way that the new spirituality is leaching into the body of Christ, and that is through the avalanche of books and periodicals that push CS, yoga, and other New Age concepts. Among the books and authors that advocate for CS are any of Henry Nouwen's works. Henry Nouwen was a Catholic theologian and mystic who was considered a spiritual master by his peers, by his followers. Even today, he is still hugely popular, especially within the emergent movement. In support of panentheism, Nouwen states that God dwells in the inner sanctuary of every human being. This type of panentheism is embraced by most of those that I will mention in this presentation today. Nouwen embraces universalism when he states, "I personally believe that while Jesus came to open the door to God's house, all human beings can walk through that door, whether they know about Jesus or not. I see it," he said, "as my call to help every person claim his or her own way to God." In other words, one makes his own way to God without Jesus Christ. Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline is a leading promoter of CS. His book is a staple in New Age bookstores. His book is a mixture of New Age mysticism and Catholic spirituality practiced by the ancient monks called Desert Fathers. Dallas Willard, also known as a modern mystic, embraces CS in books such as The Spirit of the Disciplines. Rick Warren names him one of the leaders, along with Richard Foster, of the spiritual formation movement. Dan Kimball, a leader in the emergent movement, authored The Emerging Church and listed Willard's Renovation of the Heart as recommended reading. He sees the discipline of silence as a powerful and essential discipline, he says. Only silence will allow life-transforming concentration upon God. Sue Monk Kidd, one of the farthest out of the CS proponents, heartily endorses Willard's book. Surely I don't have to mention Rick Warren's books on purpose-driven, or books by Leonard Sweet, Doug Padgett, Rob Bell, Brian McLaren, and others who are pushing a faddish brand of spirituality that will not stand the test of time. Let me stop and say that just because a book or writing uses terms like spiritual or disciplines or prayer or once in a while quotes a scripture from the Bible, it does not mean that they are biblically based practices or would be defined as you and I would define them. They often refer to a practice entirely different from what you may think of when you read or hear that particular term. Among periodicals that promote CS include Christianity Today, Psychology Today, and Christian Counseling Today. Unless we use discrimination in our choice of reading materials, we can find ourselves being swept up into a popular trend that can only lead to spiritual deception. We can also be introduced to CS by the increasing desire to embrace the culture, to claim relevance for what it is that we are doing or saying or presenting or practicing. The motivation to copy the emergence and the megachurches in worship, in music, in dress styles, can take us far afield from any biblical approach to true spirituality. This desire to be relevant can extend to the new ways that the postmoderns are praying and relating to God, such as the practice of CS and yoga. The Bible relates how the integration of false spirituality with true spirituality led the people of God into idolatry in Old Testament times. Today, we are seeing the worship of worship, the worship of the God within, or the self, and that is nothing but idolatry. The worship of the trappings of wealth or power or pleasure is also idolatry. We need to be mimicking the biblical heroes rather than the emergence, rather than the New Agers, rather than the ancient cave-dwelling Catholic mystics and hermits. Another way CS is leaching into the church is through the view of the Word of God as insufficient and non-authoritative. We cannot allow the Word of academics and popular authors to be considered as being on a par with the Word of God. There is no body of knowledge out there that transcends or ascends to the level of God's Word. There has been a subtle shift of trust from the Bible writers to the educators and authors of our own generation. The efforts of the emergence to deny the authority of the Bible, and really all authority, has made a breach in the wall that has allowed a Trojan horse of spiritual error to invade the church of the living God. Here is the truth from the Apostle Peter. He hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Paul added these words, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. The Word of God, the Bible, is the special revelation of God to man, and it must be held in high esteem. Another breach in the wall of truth by the new spirituality is the social gospel. The currently popular practices of giving the appearance of spirituality falls into the category of Pharisaism. Practices that look or sound spiritual, but really are merely a part of a modern gospel that involves the idea of the redemption of a society or a culture or a nation or a special group of high-profile people. Too many ministers have stopped preaching the cross to press for the redemption of the planet or save the whales or to be involved in the environmentalism or global warming. But we are not called to preach a social gospel, although the outgrowth of salvation and sanctification is compassion and care. But biblical care and compassion are not defined as efforts to overcome the consequences and effects of sin and idolatry. For example, to funnel the resources of the corporate body of Christ, the church, to fight the ravages of disease that are propagated by the sins of the pagans is not mandated in the Scriptures. But such activities are viewed by many as spiritual. The new spirituality is the big umbrella that includes the focus on salvaging a sinful culture through good deeds. But Jesus did not come to redeem a culture. He did not come to redeem a political segment of society, but to save the individuals out of those cultures and societies who believe in the efficacy of Calvary and the essentiality of the new birth. It is the new birth message that we are told to take into all the world, not the new spirituality. Other ways these elements are leaching into the church include avenues provided by the internet. I'm speaking of social networking. I'm speaking of blogs and websites and online classes. And there are always the anecdotal testimonies of those who might claim to have found God through looking deep within themselves. My appeal is to return to a spirituality that is presented in the Scriptures. Let me provide a suggested definition of spirituality that perhaps we all can live with. Spirituality in the New Testament sense is the state or practice of deep personal communion with God and sincere commitment to God. Spirituality should be measured in terms of consistent Christ-likeness rather than ecstatic experiences. The truly Christian person is filled with the Holy Spirit, is familiar with the Word of God, lives by its principles, is sensitive and responsive to the will of God, and walks in Christian love and liberty. The truly spiritual person is faithful in spiritual service like prayer, worship, praise, witnessing. He recognizes the ownership of God of all of his possessions and is just in his dealings with his fellow man. Some are prone to view spirituality in terms of the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. But Paul makes it clear that the gifts must be operated by love. Gifts without love lead to abuse. The Corinthians evidently had many gifts, but were carnal rather than spiritual. Spirituality is not to be measured in terms of physical movement or volume in exuberant worship, but the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in one's life. Paul said, if any man think himself to be spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So the spiritual man leans not so much on his own mystical experiences to determine truth, but he leans wholly on the Word of God. May God add a measure of discernment to all of our minds as we walk with Him in truth. Always remembering the words of David in Psalm 33 and 4. The word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth.